G'day and welcome to the Surface Interval 2.0. And this is Des Parrows, and with me I have our colourful diving identity wearing underwear on his head, Greg Blair.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, thanks, bro. Just what I need, and just what our listeners need is a vision of me sitting here with underwear on my head. Not quite.
It's not actually underwear on his head, it's just a muffled microphone. But anyway, and also we have on the line, you may have heard the laughter in the background there, our brand new co-host, Agnes Malauka. Hey, Ag.
Hello. How are you?
Good. Yourself?
Very good. Welcome. Laughing at Bear's sock on the head.
Sock on the head. Yeah, it sounds a bit
better. Now change to sock. Yeah, great. Not getting any better.
Well, at least anyway. It's not a paper bag, right?
Now, we actually once tried to recording a podcast with you, Ag, before, and this you joining us as one of the co-hosts has been on the cards for, I don't know, 18 months or something like that since we recorded a podcast back in Melbourne, and unfortunately the background noise was just unbelievable because we recorded it in a pub. So let's make a mental note that for next time the acoustics in noisy pubs are probably not the best for podcast recordings, but anyway.
No, but we had so much fun, though, didn't we?
It was a good evening. It was a good evening. I think Bear still doesn't remember most of it.
Oh, I remember all about Bear Brass.
Bear Brass. There we go.
For those people that are in Melbourne that have actually been to South Bank area, Bear Brass, go and drink where Ag and Des and Bear hung out one night. So, moving along. Good to have you on board anyway, Ag. Been some time coming.
Yeah, good to be here finally. Hopefully we can have a proper chat. Although I am missing the beer. That was a good addition to the podcast.
It was. It's a social lubricant, as they call it.
Well, you're welcome to open up the green room at your house and help yourself. An open bar there, go for it.
Indeed you do. Now, tell us a little bit about yourself. Because some people out there may not have heard of you, although given Facebook recently, I think that's a smaller number than you think. But...
Oh, I don't know about that. There are times when my reputation precedes me, but I'm sure I'm not that well known.
Now, apparently you like diving, right?
Yeah, I suppose I do. I'm a diver from Melbourne originally, but spent a year in Florida in cave country over there, so that was a very lovely working holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, now I'm back here and causing trouble, apparently, so that's always good.
Indeed. What drew you to cave country? I mean, obviously, apart from the caves, how did you manage to land on your feet with that one?
I actually worked for DiveRite, who is a manufacturer of dive equipment for technical diving.
Mm-hmm.
And they happen to be located right smack bang in the middle of some of the best cave diving in the world, so that was very convenient.
Indeed.
So, yeah, every day after work, I'd jump in the water and go for a dive and then get back into work the following morning. So, good lifestyle. They're very lucky over there.
Were you already full cave trained before you went?
Yeah, I was. I mean, that was one of the reasons why I was so desperate to go over there.
Mm-hmm.
I went over there for a quick holiday for a couple of months and loved it. And I thought, how on earth can I get my ass back here? So, it all kind of... The stars and the moon aligned and it all kind of happened for me. So I went back and had a fabulous time.
Excellent. And there's some great footage out there on YouTube and on Facebook, which I was alluding to just before, which shows that you really got yourself into some pretty tight spots. Tell us about a couple of dives you did.
Well, that particular dive that we filmed with Wes Skiles and the cast production crew, that's called Rock Bluff. And it's basically like a little slide mount cave in the river, so it's hard to get to because you need a boat. And very few people actually dive it just because it's, A, you need a boat to get there, and B, it's actually a lot of hard work. So the flow in the cave is very intense, and there's only a tiny little entrance to get in. So you have to fight your way in there, as you'll be able to see on the video if you have a look at that. But once you're in, it's beautiful. It's a really nice cave. It's pristine because very few people have gone in there. And just a lovely, lovely dive.
Mm. And it certainly looked it, and I mean, it looked like it was really clear water, apart from the backflow when you were
kicking madly.
True, yeah. I mean, that was mad.
No, say, I mean, you're a filth monster, are you?
Oh, no, my technique is perfect.
Okay, good. And, of course, diving side mounts as well. Is that something that is common practice in the States, or is it more people don't bother about going down these little holes?
Well, it depends. I mean, like everywhere, in Australia it's the same. Some people love side mount diving because it allows them to access places they wouldn't be able to in back mounts. And other people are sort of like, you know, I dive back mounts, this is the way I do it. And they kind of sort of, I guess, a little bit hesitant to try different things. But until recently, you know, slide mounting has always been like a sort of almost witchcraft, where you weren't really able to get the information you needed on how to slide mount, and there wasn't like an off-the-shelf solution for you. Whereas these days there's a couple of manufacturers who make, you know, off-the-shelf rigs. Mm-hmm. So all you've got to do is put them on and basically go diving, which is quite handy. Plus there's so much more information out there about how to slide mount and how to set up your regs and all this kind of stuff. Mm. So that's really helpful. So that means it's sort of becoming more popular as well.
It's in fact, I've seen that at least one of the tech agencies, DSAT, which is Paddy's tech arm, has now stated that any of its courses can be conducted in side mount gear as long as both the instructor and the student are side mount trained.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? I mean, everyone wants to go slide mounting now, and I guess because there are so many sort of advantages, you know, like you don't have to carry the back mounts on your back. You can just carry each tank separately to the water. Mm-hmm. So if you have, you know, back problems, or if you're just lazy, or if, you know, the entrance to the cave is actually hard work to get to, like, you know, out in the Nullarbor or something like that, mm-hmm. then it's actually a good way of going about it. You know, being able to gear up in the water, it's quite handy.
So does it use a similar harness system to a normal backplate wing sort of setup, or?
Yeah, well, I can only talk about what DiveRide does, but they have the Nomad, which is basically a transback, special Nomad wing, which is a bit longer than the usual wings are, and it has a butt plate as well. So the butt plate means that you can attach things a bit lower down on your body, so the tanks end up sitting quite nicely against the side of your body, I suppose, right underneath your armpits. So, yeah, that's basically very similar but a little bit different, a couple of, you know, extra pieces that you need to be able to go side mount diving.
And I presume they're obviously runners' independence when you set up that way?
Yeah, which is, you know, some people find that a little bit scary. Some people think it's actually safer. Really, it's a personal choice, I suppose. I certainly think it's great because you do have access to the valves right under, like right next to you, sort of in front of you. So if something happens, you can quickly deal with the problem rather than trying to reach behind you and, you know, turn off valves and isolators and all this kind of stuff.
We love our valve shutdown drills, don't we? Yeah. Yeah, no, it looks really interesting. I've never tried it, but I'm kind of fascinated looking at it and the setup there. Do you use stage bottles or deco bottles with side mount, or is that?
You can use stage bottles, certainly. Like the Nomad has 60 pounds of lift, so it's actually quite a large wing, but you can't really tell because it's all scrunched up together.
Okay.
And it sort of wraps around your body, if that makes sense, which is quite a novel way of doing it. But either way, you can happily carry, you know, several stages and not sink, even in a wetsuit. But yeah, the stages end up sort of sitting either above your tanks or below your tanks, like you would in a normal back mount setup. So yeah, there are different options depending on what the cape's doing and where you're going and what you're trying to achieve.
That sounds very cool. We should probably talk a little bit more about side mount down the track, because I think it would be a topic that would be, I'd be really interested in sort of learning a bit more about it.
Yeah, definitely. Why not? We can even go for a dive one day. What do you reckon?
That'd be awesome.
No, definitely not. No, Babe, not allowed in the water. No, not allowed in the water. But actually, you, just picking up on something you just said there, you actually mentioned the N-word during that.
N-word?
The N-word. Yeah, the N word being nullable. You bring something back to back more into Australia rather than over in the States, and the States is really quite good because it's like the mecca. But back here, you've been involved in a bit of a trip over to the Nullarbor just recently.
Yeah, that was the carrot that got me back to Australia, really.
Yeah.
coming back reluctantly. After Austec, a whole bunch of us went over to Cocklebiddy out in the Nullarbor, which is a fantastic place to dive. It's obviously the longest cave in Australia, so it's, I guess, the pinnacle of cave diving in Australia. And the boys, like Harry and Craig and John, were trying to push the end of it. And in the end, Rick Stanton, who's actually from England, ended up sort of going to the end of Craig's line and sort of seeing if there's anything more left. And unfortunately, there wasn't, so it's officially been declared finished. more or less. But nonetheless, it's still several kilometres to get out to the end, and it's an amazing sight. It's huge and just huge tunnels, really beautiful, and really hard work getting in there. You know, like you're dragging all your gear down to the water, and then you have to, after diving, you know, for a kilometre or so, you have to go across a rock pile, then you do another couple of Ks in the water, and then you have to cross Toad Hole, which is just an absolute pain in the ass, I have to say. And you do this several times. Each time it's like a 350-meter hike each way. So by the time you get all your gear across to the other side, you're absolutely exhausted. And then you go off for your final dive in Sump 3, which is actually totally worth it and just amazing. That's Cocklebiddy. All good fun, but you certainly get a bit of exercise doing it.
Yeah, it certainly keeps you fit by the sounds of it. It sounds amazing.
Yeah, you mentioned a couple of divers there as well, which is our own Dr. Harry that we've had on here, done a couple of podcasts with, and Craig being Craig Challen, correct?
Yep, and who else? So Craig and JGZ,
John. JGZ, Della Zavala.
There you are.
If I get the pronunciation right. And and part of that was with you mentioned about after Austec, and we'll sort of segue into that nicely, but Craig Challen was also one of the Tech Diver of the Year.
He was Tech Diver of the Year, wasn't he? Yeah,
he did quite well, and I think Harry ended up getting the Outstanding Achievement Award as well, which is quite good, along with another diver, Steve Travers. There we go. Mm-hmm. I remember.
Yep.
It was a long evening. Yeah, the top three. Long evening with plenty of wine and beer.
It was a rather good evening, though.
Certainly. Yes.
So,
it's a shame that Austin happens every 2 years.
Yeah. Well, maybe better for recovery of the liver. But And while we're talking about Austec, thank you to David Strike for putting on another wonderful Austec this year. I flew up there and attended the event this year, which was quite good for me to take a different view of the diving world. I enjoyed it. And you were up there, Ag, because I saw you up there, and of course you just talked about it. And of course, Mr. Perez was there. So,
Ag, you spoke actually at the event, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I talked a little bit about my Florida experiences and what I got up to over there, which was very good fun. Mm-hmm.
Scary being up the front in front of all those people?
Well, you'd think so, but once I started and I started chit-chatting away about all the cool dives I was doing and all that kind of stuff, it actually stopped being scary, would you believe it? So, so I got over stage fright pretty quickly and got quite into telling everybody about my adventures.
Terrific.
Yeah, there were some big names there this year too, when you had like, well, you mentioned Rick Stanton before and Lee Bishop, and of course Richie Kohler was out, and Jill Hynath, and a whole bunch of other people. That there was a great cast of speakers.
Yeah, so it was an amazing Austec. I mean, it's the second one I went to, and it's just such a great event. Like, it's totally worth going up there every couple of years.
Yeah,
dropping everything and going up there, basically. It's the events to be at.
Oh, look, totally. I had a blast. It was a big weekend, but I just and I didn't hear anyone that had a complaint about the whole thing. I mean, it was really well turned out, and I think that Strikey pulled off an amazing job again.
Hmm. Well, that's not surprising. Happens every time, doesn't it?
Indeed. So we're looking at Oztec again in 2011, I guess.
Yeah, well, we'll see who ends up coming, right? It's always a cast of thousands, so hopefully you guys will all come.
I'll be there.
Excellent.
You guys, yeah. I suppose, being the audience out there as well.
The listeners, but you guys especially.
Out in internet land. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well,
definitely.
I just assumed that the two of you would be there.
Oh, yeah.
Well, how could we not?
I think
it's actually supporting such a good thing too. It's been excellent.
Yeah, no, it's a terrific weekend, and I think that you know, while Strikey's still got it going, he seems to be already starting on the next one. So he's going to, I'm sure it'll be every bit as good, if not better, because they always seem to be take a big step up. So yeah, big shout out, and as you said, a thanks to David Strike for putting on a great show.
Oh, so Bear, are you going to get in the water with us soon, or what?
Oh, that sounds like a proposition, doesn't it? Bear's intention of going diving, people in probably internet land, we talked about it probably in our last podcast, and even the podcast that didn't make it to the air was about my self-enforced removal from the water for a while. Bear had lost his mojo as far as getting in the water, but what has been, I suppose, floating my boat or sinking my boat is the preparation for HMAS Canberra.
Fantastic. Ooh, that's happening in August, isn't it? Like mid-August?
Mid-August or September, weather dependent. And so that's probably the big thing down in our land, down here in Victoria waters anyway. Very interested. I was watching a couple of videos, a video that was specifically put up on the Dive Victoria website that was shot by, my name is AB from the Dive Oz website, but his name's gone. But anyway, AB, big wave and shout out.
He'll know who he is. Yeah.
But anyway, just a preparation of that and looking at the size of it, I'm sort of pretty excited. I'd be very interested in getting into the water again and having a look at something new. I think it's probably been one of the things is looking at wet rock and more wet rock and squeezing into tight places wearing side mounts doesn't really do it for me. I'm probably more of an ocean diver than anything else. And that sort of is where I'm probably headed to at the moment, looking at diving on something new.
I just got a little thought running through my mind as we're speaking on this, and I reckon, Bear, we should organise a surface interval dive day on the wreck.
That would be novel.
Yeah.
That would be lovely.
You in?
I know. Me?
Yeah. Both of you.
Well, of course. Who can say no to a good dive?
Yeah, that'd be good fun. Let's do it. We'll see. I wonder if we could even entice Dr. Bowie down.
Yes, probably with a bottle of wine or two. So yeah, well, why not? Let's make it a plan. Yeah.
Put it into it.
And I think we even know a boat operator or two that can help us with that one.
Oh, I think so. I think so. We've got a couple of friendships down here, so that's cool. No worries.
That sounds good. I've been looking forward to diving with you, Bear, for a long time. You've been promising.
Oh, now come on. Don't make me get all embarrassed, eh? Not that bad. Yeah. Nah, be good to get it in the water, actually. So.
Yeah, well, let's do it. Listeners, stay tuned. We'll have a small number of seats available, possibly.
A report and photos as well.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Excellent. Yeah, but it will be a good wreck to have, actually, because a lot of the wrecks we've got in Melbourne are sort of, I suppose, in dire straits. You know, every time a storm comes through, a little bit extra falls off it or something. They're still good, but it'll be nice to have something fresh, I think.
Yes, though, also speaking about something fresh, and I must give another big wave to the Southern Ocean Inquisition guys. Mark Ryan and Greg Hodge did a presentation at Austech, but there's been a recent discovery down here of a vessel called the SS Glenelg out off 90 Mile Beach, which was discovered or found by the Southern Ocean Exploration guys. It has hit the media, and mainstream media as in The Age, Fairfax Papers, etc. So I've spoken to a couple of people who've dived it, looked at a couple of photos that are on it, and it's just a pristine wreck. Smallish, but yeah, another new one out there, so...
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it is.
I heard it's in about 35 metres, is that right?
Yeah, about 30 metres. Just head over 30 metres.
Okay, so good depth for many divers.
Yep, within working limits for heritage people as well, so for those people who are in heritage...
Excellent.
Mm. I assume it's going to be closed for a while they figure out what's actually on there and figure out its historical significance.
Oh, is it?
There is quite a lot of artifacts on it, remaining on it. It is pristine. The photos that I've seen show that it is pristine and a lot of artifacts. I'm not 100% sure on what they're actually doing with it. It is in a very current crane site. So it's a little bit difficult. The photographer that I was speaking to, which was Nick Schoffler, which you may or may not know, Nick was showing off his photos, but he's saying at this point I was whizzing past the wreck at a great rate of knots, so it's got quite a bit of current on it. So it's probably going to be difficult to dive and probably rarely dive because of the location. So hopefully it can stay pristine for a bit longer and not be pillaged.
Yeah, that'd be good. If you're a wreck diver out there, don't take stuff. That's bad.
Yeah, leave it there for others to see.
Well, that's it.
Yeah.
You know, I just on a segue from there, I just got back from having 10 days diving the Coolidge.
Ooh, how was that?
In Vanuatu. It was fantastic. And that's a really great example. I mean, it's an enormous wreck. I hadn't dived it before. I don't know if you guys have been over there.
No, I have
been to the Coolidge. Want to go back. There you go, Egg. You and I... Bear and Ag do Coolidge.
Ooh, I like that.
That sounds like a good plan.
You can come too.
I'm there. It's a great wreck. I conducted a tech diving course while I was over there, and we had a really good time on the wreck. It's just a fantastic example of how good it is if people leave stuff there for others to see. And the local people there, the Ni Vanuatu, really take that very seriously. They make sure that stuff stays on it. There's always just a wide range of things there to be seen, from pistols and handguns, rifles, through to jeeps and tanks. There's medicine vials still got morphine in them.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool.
It's pretty awesome. It's got a bit of depth to it. So I think that what the top of it bears in about 18 metres.
Oh, it's even probably 18 metres where it hits the reef on the bow area. So.
Yep.
And then descends down to about 66 to 68 or maybe 70 on the sand at the stern.
Yeah, I didn't go out there. I think I maxed out at about 56, which for me and air, that's kind of like where I'll
that's enough. That'd be
about the pool area at the back there.
Yeah, that exactly right.
Yep.
Did you see the lady? That's the one with the lady, isn't it? How was that?
Yes. Yeah, that's awesome. But I actually was, even that the pool was fantastic. The lady was really cool, but I thought the pool was great because here's this luxury liner that's been down for, 60 years. And not only is there still water in the pool, but you can still see the tiles, all the tiles, and you can count the 7 colours of the mosaic tile patterns.
Oh, now that was just really good, and I just picked up on that too. That was a chuckle. The water's still in the pool. Thanks, man. No worries.
Come water in the pool. Joke.
Yeah, dad joke. Dad joke.
It had to be done.
It had to be done. On that note, guys, I'm a bit pushed for time. Been lovely to join you for this short chat, but I need to go.
No worries, mate.
I need to, and hello to the great world out there, and hopefully you'll hear my dulcet tones without a sock on my head or even underpants in the near future.
Excellent. Well, hopefully we can get this going on a semi-regular basis. We say that a few times, but we have a plan.
Well, there's even more incentive now that Ag's back in the country, so being over in the States made it a bit harder when we first talked about it. So
yeah, this is my first Skype experience. It was all very exciting. Thank you, boys.
No worries. I'm glad we could help you with that. And, yeah, so what are you got coming up there? You got any dives coming up before the wreck of the Canberra, or is that your next big
one? Probably a shore dive somewhere with Ag holding my hand.
No worries.
I don't think I need to do that. Come on.
Okay. Well, it's okay.
But if you want to.
Yeah, shore dive probably. No, I don't know. Nothing at the moment at all, Jez. So we'll see how we go.
No worries.
All right.
No worries. We'll catch you shortly, Ben.
Okay. Out of time. See you later.
See ya.
Bye.
Good night from him. Something like that. All right. Cheers, guys.
All righty. We'll keep going for a few more minutes there.
Okay, why not?
Indeed. And so you're heading up to cave country this weekend, you were saying?
I'm actually going dry caving, but next weekend I'm heading up to Mount Gambier and diving in Tank Cave, which is a lovely cave over there.
Okay. And what's the? How would you compare the cave diving here in Florida?
Well, I think to be honest, Australia has amazing world-class sinkholes.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those places where, like, Picanini Ponds and the Shaft and Kilsby's, places like that, they just absolutely should be visited by everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the caves in Mount Gambier are a bit smaller, like, still just as beautiful and just as amazing, but they're just not as extensive, I suppose.
Cool.
The biggest cave is Tank Cave.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a sort of spiderweb-like place where it's got passages going everywhere. And that's a little bit more similar to what happens in Florida. So that's one of those caves that every cave diver who starts off diving in Australia wants to get to and wants to see when they're actually get their experience up and get the dives up.
Okay. That sounds awesome.
Mm. Yeah, it's pretty. It's very beautiful. We'll have to one day check up some photos of what it looks like on the inside.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's nice.
Okay, well, that's cool. Well, I guess I know you've got a desire to sort of get heading up to the...
Get in the car and drive for 5 hours, yes.
Is that up to the mount as well? Or?
No, that's in the other direction, off to Buchan.
Okay.
Yeah, a long way to go just for a bit of cave and rock and stuff, but that's all right. That's what we do.
Coming from the person that dragged herself halfway around the world for a bit of rock, anyway. That's fantastic. That's great. Well, we'll talk more, I guess, in the upcoming episodes about some of the adventures that you had, because I'd really like to hear a bit more about some of those and the adventures that are upcoming, because I think you probably would have some great stories from Florida.
Oh, there's a few stories. I'm sure we could spend an afternoon talking about those.
I guess some of them are the what happens in Florida stays in Florida type
things. No, I think what happens in Florida, everyone knows about very quickly.
That's probably true, actually. It's the mecca of the internet diving world, isn't it? As well as caving.
Yep, that's it.
There you go. Brilliant. All right, well, we might call it there for this first episode of version 2.0 of the Surface Interval. Thanks so much for joining us, Ag.
Thanks for having me. Welcome. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I look forward to the next one.
We'll try and do it every...
little while.
Hopefully once or twice a month.
That'd be good.
Would be a good thing to do. But otherwise, folks, we're going to have... There's probably a few changes in terms of where you'll find the podcast. So just keep an eye out at thesurfaceinterval.net. Which will be the homepage for the podcast. And also, if you are on Twitter, twitter.com/surfaceinterval is the place where you can check in for updates and bits and pieces on that. And once we have things going, we'll, of course, post some things up onto Dive Oz and places like that so people can sort of catch up with what we're doing. Ag, if people want to sort of find out more about you, where's your website?
ScubaWithAg.com.
ScubaWithAg.com.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
That's it.
All right, then. Well, thank you very much. And we'll
thank you.
Good night.
Night.